You ever get that phone call or that text that just like radically changes your week? I had one of those last night. And so for the church family members who know me, I'm off today. my heart is heavy and it grieves. And I'm not at liberty to say the details of it, but what I can share is we have church family members who have extremely heavy hearts here this morning. And so I'm bringing that into this space and I acknowledge that. And I don't wanna be a distraction because I do believe that God wants to speak to each one of us. And in fact, the message is actually hitting me differently because of the phone call that I had last night. And so I just wanna pray. I wanna pray for you, I wanna pray for me. That God would just, I like to say, here's my loaves and fish. I feel like today I've just got some crusty crumbs today. And I'm not saying that for you to be sympathetic with me. Like, this is just one of those Sundays, I don't wanna be here. Like, my heart is heavy and I'm extremely emotional. I'm emotional all the time, but the emotions are very real today. And I don't wanna be a distraction to what God's gonna do here today. So let's pray. Father, that's my heart. I don't want to be a distraction from your word being spoken to your people. And Lord, I believe it in my bones. You are worthy. We just hit that on repeat. You are the only one who is worthy. And so, Father, I pray that you could use the meditations in my heart, these words that I have on this screen, Lord, could you do something with it for your kingdom to just take place here on earth as it is in heaven, in our hearts and our minds? And so, Father, I pray that you would remove any kind of distractions, whether that's me or someone's coming into this space or watching this video down the road and there's distractions around them. Holy Spirit, would you minister to each one of us here today? Jesus, thanks for loving us before we even loved you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. So for those of you who are new, my name is Brandon. I'm our spiritual formation pastor here. And we're in a teaching series called The Right Side Up Kingdom. And we're continuing that teaching series. And if there's gonna be like a subtitle underneath the teaching series, it's an audience or a father. And I hope that we'll be able to answer that very clearly by the end of today's teaching. But have you ever had a moment where you felt like you were just feeling super spiritual? Like, you're killing it in this moment. Like, you feel like if Jesus was standing next to you in this moment, like, he'd reach out and he'd want to give you a fist bump sort of thing. But instead of looking for Jesus, you're looking for others to see how Jesus-y you are. This is something that I fight with quite often, especially when we're doing events. Setting up or tearing down, it's really difficult for me to want to talk about how spiritual I am, how amazing of God's servant that I am, and how long that I can serve. I mean, I absolutely love telling stories. Some of you have been on the receiving end of that. Now, whether I'm good at telling stories, that's a whole nother conversation. But I love telling stories. See, I can tell a story about how awesome Summer Bash was, but I can also tell it in such a way that it makes me look like I'm God's servant and I'm the best at what I do. I can make it sound like my cross is really big and how long of a day it was, like how early we came in and how late that we stayed. But then, like, am I trying to get the applause of an audience and not the Father? So let's take the camera off of me for a moment. Let me ask you a question. We say things like, I want to pray better, or I wanna be able to pray out loud. Is that so others can hear? Or you want to learn how to pray in the King James Version, like, thou art heavenly Father, sort of thing. We want everybody in the world to know just how much Bible reading we're doing. So we get a really sweet filter, right, on the Instagram. We set up our chair and our desk with our cup of coffee. We get a catchy little saying in the background to just show how spiritual we are. So let's bridge some context here from the last couple of weeks. So I'm incredibly grateful for the message that Pastor Ryan Lutz brought last week. If you feed it, it will grow. And we heard multiple testimonies from the next generation. I love that. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Ryan Bibb, he gave his last message prior to going on his sabbatical. And he was talking about giving. And he was in this same portion of scripture that we're in today, but we're just gonna kind of dissect it a little bit differently. And let's be honest, there's probably a certain percentage of you, you've already forgotten what Pastor Ryan Bibb's last message was. And you know what? That's okay, no judgment. But you can always go back and you can build upon it by watching the videos. But Jesus said, when you give, That was something that was emphasized in the teaching 2 weeks ago. Today, he's gonna say it four more times. When you pray, when you pray, when you pray, when you fast. So in a world without punctuation, so in this context, in the language that this was written in, there wasn't punctuation. So when you see words getting repeated, there's that, like, that's the highlighter. That's when you get out the highlighter and you notice this. Jesus is underlining something. And so let's find out together here today. So we have a cool little saying around here. We get into the word. All right, let's jump back into our text. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Jump forward to verse 16. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. See, Jesus, he's teaching disciples surrounded by a crowd formed by synagogue piety. He's naming what everyone has already seen. He knows that the religious elite, that's what I like to call the scribes and the Pharisees, he sees them out on the street corners being super spiritual. And so he names what everyone has seen, the street corner prayer, the disfigured fasting face. And when I say disfigured fasting face, they're just trying to make it blatantly obvious that they're fasting. They're trying to make it of, oh, look at me, and I'm really hungry, and I'm fasting. But Jesus is very specific in how he's describing these religious elite. So the English uses the word hypocrite. And in the original language in Greek, this means stage actor. So first century devout Jews prayed at fixed hours, meaning you could time your errands when you need to go get maybe some fresh olive oil or you need to go get some fresh vegetables. You could time your errands out in the market where you would get caught praying on the street corners. You'd be standing somewhere visible when the hour struck. And so the hypocrisy Jesus names, it isn't accidental, it's scheduled. So here's one way to maybe interpret this. This is performance spirituality has an audience. And the audience, it does pay. It pays in admiration, in reputation, and wow, you're super spiritual. But Jesus, he uses a receipt language. He's saying it's paid in full. The account's closed. You chose your paymaster. You performed, they applauded. The receipt stamped, nothing further is to be owed. So like, how do we apply that context here today? See, the upside down world hasn't gone anywhere. We just traded street corners for screens. Like the prayer that we word craft when we know that we're gonna be praying in front of a room. Or the fast that we can't help but mentioning. Oh, I'm on a fast right now. The question isn't, were you seen? The question is, who were you doing it for? Here's the slide. In the upside down world, prayer and fasting are performance for people. In the kingdom, they're a relationship with the Father who already knows you and wants you anyways. He wants you in spite of you. And man, that truth is starting to settle even more and more in my heart. So maybe here's another way to say this if this didn't land with you. Stop performing for an audience that pays an applause. Start praying to a Father who pays attention. And maybe for some of you, like, you don't even realize that the Father is paying attention to you. Like, if he has a refrigerator, it is full of pictures of you because he loves you so much. He loves you right in the middle of your mess. So 2 weeks ago, in our teaching that Pastor Ryan Bibb did, Jesus told us that no one can serve two masters. He wasn't only talking about money in this moment. The same choice happens when you fold your hands to pray. Here's a thought grenade for you to process. Has people pleasing become your master? And so depending on where this is sitting with some of you, Jesus, like, he addresses this specifically. And now we can have a spiritual practice to help combat against this. So let's jump back into the text. We're going to look at verse 6 and 8. And in Matthew 6, it says, "But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." In verse 8, it says, "Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him." So he's not talking about a synagogue. He's not talking about a chapel. He's not talking about a church building gathering here. He's talking about a storeroom. The one that has zero windows, it's lockable. It's just an ordinary first century house. And Jesus says, pray in the pantry. I mean, there's a term that gets used around in the church world today, talking about your prayer closet. Now, here's an image right here from the ancient Near East of what this would look like. It's just a small little room that only has one door that goes into it. There's no windows. There's no other thing going on. The point is not the room. The laundry room is just as sacred as this room right here. The place that you work out in is just as sacred as this room is right here. I love to play disc golf, and the disc golf course is just as sacred as what it is in here. And maybe you don't like disc golf, or you don't even know what it is. What is your disc golf? Because that is just as sacred as it is right here. So when you look at lexicons, this is like a dictionary that goes into the original language. It is abundantly clear across all of the different lexicons. The essential contrast isn't secret versus public, it's people versus God. See, in secret, it's simply where the performance dies because there's no one left to perform to. So I want to jump back to verse 8 just real quick. Jesus gives a very important statement right here. And for some of you, prayer, it's a very new practice or a spiritual discipline. And you might be thinking, I don't even know what to say. Jesus says it, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The reality is, you're not informing God. You're not impressing God. You're not performing for God. You are with God. And so if you're a person who marks your Bible, you use highlighters or pens, I really want to encourage you to mark this statement. Your Father knows you. This is an identity statement. This is a truth straight from the creator of all things. This is a truth that you need to constantly remind yourself of. This is an identity truth to carry into the depths of your soul. You have never once surprised your Father in heaven. Did you know that? He already knows. And he still wants you anyways. Please allow that truth to go into the depths of your soul. You don't need to have the right words. You don't need to have high emotions or low emotions. You don't even need to have fancy words to be able to do it. You can be distracted. You can be a mess. You can be sobbing in your shower in the middle of the night. It can be silent. The storeroom takes them all. The Father, he's not grading your performance. He's keeping a relationship. You know, from time to time, people, they will give words of gratitude for the way that I pray for them. And it always makes me feel just a little unsettled deep down, because it's not that I don't mind praying for people. I don't want people to get hung up on how or what I'm praying. It's literally just an overflow from the storeroom, the prayer closet, the pantry. It's my time that I've had with the Father. And this happens. It happens all throughout the day. It happens when I'm sitting at my desk. It happens when I'm in my gym listening to worship music. It happens when I'm in my van with the radio off. It happens when I'm walking down the sidewalk. It happens on the disc golf course. The Father meets me in those places. So there might be a few of you that might be thinking this. So if he already knows, why should I pray at all? Because Jesus doesn't say if you pray, he says when you pray. Bracket, do something with all these whens. Jesus is emphasizing this over and over again. For me, I use an orange pen and I put a rectangle around all of the words that are repeated. See, relationships have rhythms. And then he hands us the scaffold. For some of you, you have no structure to your prayer life. And I don't say that in a condemning way or judgmental way. You don't have any kind of structure to your prayer. You don't even know how to get started. And Jesus, he gives us a wonderful scaffold, or maybe a trellis for this to grow on. And maybe for some of you, you grew up in a tradition where there was a prayer that you did word for word. And there's nothing wrong with that, specifically talking about what we called the Lord's Prayer, which was already read. But Jesus is giving us more of a framework for what our prayer life could look like. So Matthew verses 9 through 13. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Therefore, you should pray like this. That's why I feel like Jesus is saying this is more of a scaffolding, or it's a trellis. It's a structured way for us to pray. Now, can you pray this word for word? Absolutely. But I think we can actually personalize that, and we'll get to that here in a moment. But I want you to notice something here. So notice the pronouns that were used in this portion of scripture. So Jesus just got done finishing talking about secret prayer, but then the model prayer is entirely plural. Our Father, give us, forgive us, deliver us. Secret does not mean solo. Let that sit in. Secret does not mean solo. The prayer closet and the prayer team are the same relationship, but they're just in two different rooms. By no means is Jesus telling us that we should only pray by ourselves in a closet with no windows. That is not what Jesus is saying here. That's not at all what he's saying. His point was that our relationship with the Father should happen just as much in private as it does within biblical community. So very briefly, verses 16 through 18, this fasting, it runs on the identical pattern. It's the same when. He's not saying if you fast, when you fast. It's the same warning. So the same father who sees in secret, fasting is in the same relationship, but it's just in a different key. Even your hunger belongs to him, not to the audience. So John Wesley, his movement is still moving today on many different fronts, and he practiced fasting regularly, actually twice a week. Here's one of his statements about fasting. First, let fasting be done unto the Lord with our eyes singly fixed on him. Let our intention herein be this, and this alone, to glorify a Father which is in heaven. I am not there yet, friends. As I was preparing for this message, I would see that he fasted twice a week and kind of his rhythms that he would do it. I am not there yet, but I desire to be there because Jesus says, when you fast. And this isn't for some sort of diet or fad. This is about building a relationship with the Father. So how do we begin to start applying some of this? We can talk about prayer all we want, but how do we actually do a rep? Like, we talk about going to the gym, but at some point you actually have to pick up the weight and you actually have to curl it, or you actually have to do a squat. And so I actually want to do a rep with you guys here today. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start breaking up parts of the Lord's Prayer, and then I'm going to pause. And my desire is that you would personalize this for yourself. And I'll give you a little bit of leading. I'll give you a little bit of a prompt. But I want you to now pick up the weight. And I want you to start practicing some reps here today. So I'm going to read a line. Then I'm going to be quiet. And I want you to pray it in your own words. And here's the reality. There are no right words. He already knows. So I want you to tell him who he is to you. Jesus put it like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Pray that right now. I want you to name one place in your life that you're inviting his rule. Jesus put it like this: Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now ask him very plainly what you need. Jesus said it like this: Give us today our daily bread. Ask God for the substance physically, emotionally, and spiritually in your life right now. And as you receive it, now you need to release someone. Jesus says, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And I know for some of you, that is really hard with that face that's coming into your mind right now. So maybe right now you need to name your battle. Maybe it's not a person, but it's something else. Jesus says, and do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Worship team, you can make your way up. So my question to you that I had at the very beginning of the teaching was, an audience or a father? See, the upside down world will pay you for your performance. And the payment ends there. But the Father who sees in secret, he's not holding a receipt. He's holding a relationship. He already knows you and he wants you anyway. You were never meant for an audience. You were made for a father. Maybe another way to say it is you can keep playing to an audience that pays an applause, or you can come home to a father who pays attention. And maybe for some of you, your earthly father did not pay any attention to you. Your heavenly Father is absolutely paying attention to you. So here's the call to action, and there's gonna be an invitation. See, we're gonna play the song Tend. In the altar, it's gonna be open. The prayer team partners are gonna make their way down to the corners. And for some of you, you just prayed your kingdom come. But maybe your next step of that prayer is just a short little walk right down here to the stage or the prayer partners. Come, kneel. You don't have to have the right words. He already knows. And this week, pick your storeroom. Name the place. Maybe it's the truck. It's the bus seat. It's the laundry room. And meet him there. Not when. It is when, not if. And for some of you, I mean, it worked out beautifully today to talk about prayer. And now we've given you an opportunity to practice prayer throughout the week for our students and our leaders this week. So my encouragement is take one of these and put it on. And every time you look at it or you scratch your arm because it's digging in, pray. You don't have to have the right words. He already knows. Because these students and these leaders need your prayers this week. All right, one final image for you here today. There's gonna be a video on the screen. I believe it in the depths of my soul that God has given you an invitation here today. The pantry with the door shut, the least impressive room in your house where the most important conversations happen. Maybe you live in an apartment that doesn't have a pantry. Don't get hung up on the logistics. But what door do you need to close in private and spend time with your Father?